It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. Well, funky intro take two. I didn't do it, did I?
You didn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
Wade actually didn't have the courage to go with the original opening. It was very hilarious, and it shocked me. I didn't know what to do, and my mic blew way off the level. So
we had to burn it. And then it was just, there's no way to capture the moment again, actually. So
it was very funny, so I had a good laugh.
Oh,
hey, our friend Dave Aldridge has been having a whole bunch of fun with Photoshop.
Friend?
I think so, my friend.
I don't know.
Come out okay.
I think I found my costume for the end of the month.
There's several pictures you got to post. You got to do both.
See, we talk about them, then we got to post them.
Yeah, you got to post them. Got to post them. They're hilarious. They're very, very good. I liked the mountain bike one, and...
You
were an interesting little nymph in the corner.
What?
You were an interesting little nymph in the corner.
Little nymph in the corner.
That's what you look like.
Dave, brother, Massachusetts. Rhode Island, excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't like that Massachusetts thing. In fact, I'm going to be back there in a few weeks. I'm going to get to see these brothers again. That'll be a lot of fun. But Dave's a graphic artist. He's having a little fun at our expense. And
he's very good at it, I think.
I don't know if I'm going to have the courage to post these pictures on the website.
Well, the one that has me looking like James Dobson?
Yeah, that one.
That was pretty good. That was funny.
I'm not sure people are going to understand why I'm in Joyce Meyer's body.
It says, there are our hosts. And with a church chat lady in the picture in the background.
It was a hilarious picture. I got a great laugh out of it. I hope people out there, even people in other cultures, understand.
I don't know why people think I sound like James Dobson. I hear that from so many people,
so I know it's true. I don't know how I sound like Joyce Meyer. In fact, Dave said he thought he was doing Joyce a disservice. I'm not so sure that's true. But anyway.
You look very attractive in that dress.
Okay, that's enough of that. Let's move on.
Go, Wayne, go.
Sheesh. So let's get back to something more worthwhile.
Okay, take us to something
Where's your growing edge these days, brother? Where are you?
My growing edge.
Where are you reading? What's God doing in your life?
You know what? I'm having fun working down at this rapper guy's house in Encino, and
big name rapper guy, huh?
No, I don't. He's sort of like the producer behind the big name rapper people.
Oh, all right.
But it's interesting.
You're building him a studio or?
No, I don't know what we're doing.
Before you pour too much concrete, you got to figure it out.
From day to day. But it's just kind of interesting because you do have the sense of, Lord, why in the world of all places that I could possibly be, why do you have me here? And it's where I do kind of genuinely realize it is has very little to do with what I'm doing. But I think God is kind of taking the freedom to place me in places where he wants me in terms of who's there. And so it's just interesting kind of to befriend this guy and to see where it goes, because we're obviously a very different kettle of fish. I think we're the only white guys on the property. And
Is that okay?
I think so. I get scared every now and then.
Oh, that's good.
I do.
Really? Well, we need to have a talk about this.
The crowd is not exactly in a little easy crowd. It's sort of
you sound like,
you're
running for the Senate from Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, put away my hood, you know. Whoa.
Man.
I don't have a hood.
That's Brad at thegodjourney.com. Brad at thegodjourney.com. We got a couple of dings from some previous podcasts here.
Oh, that's great. Read the dings.
Well, it's good. I think it's I love hearing from folks. That's only one ding, actually. We got the ding last time, but somebody was concerned that when we use Purpose Driven and Rick Warren and Battle Cry and Ron Luce's name, that they wince a little bit. Been better, maybe they thought, if we kind of just kept people's names out of it.
Oh, so you're naming them again. That's real good.
Yeah. Okay, well then. There you go. As I said back to him, we like memes. No, I'm kidding.
No,
I, you know, I,
Oops.
I don't want to.
Oops.
It's oops? What's oops?
Probably wasn't helpful to do it.
Really?
It gave it context, but I'm not poking fun at anybody.
Yeah, and I think we tried to make that clear, but...
Yeah, if I remember the context, it's like, you know what? I actually met Ron Luce. I think he's a great guy.
Yeah, you said some wonderful things about him.
Yeah, it's like in the context of the bigger things that some of those things are a part of, I think the point I was making at the time was, as individuals, I really love some of these folks.
So the oops is for me. it's my oops. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Suddenly you come in with
here to pass the buck.
Thing,
just
then,
go to the website and look at the pictures. They're very funny.
Well, you go to the oops thing, and then the next thing you know, but hey, what I was doing was fine, so I guess you were off your... Well, we're never sure how to deal with some of that. Some of that stuff's so public anyway that we feel like it's okay to talk about it in terms of names specifically, but we'll keep our eye on that. See, we certainly don't want it to be... an offense to folks or make people feel awkward.
At least
it.
Not often.
Well, that's another story. And then Patty said something really interesting. This is after, I guess, the Jesus Camp video, which, by the way, was on NBC this week. So we even scooped NBC on that whole Jesus Camp movie thing. But
I didn't know that they were listening to the God Journey, but that's all right.
Patty wrote us. I love what she says. She says, one thing that came to mind while listening to the podcast was that churchianity creates bipolar Christians. Now, hopefully that's not that us versus them thing we talked about last week, but creates bipolar Christians. Pump them up over the big weekend, during revival week, etc., down in the dumps on Monday, or certainly by Wednesday. Then there's Bible study to get them through the week. These big rallies always scare me. They always bring to mind Nuremberg rallies of Hitler's day. Jesus taught thousands, but I don't see any indication it was a big whoop them up rally. And she said that Jesus Camp stuff was pretty scary, which... it was. And it'd be interesting to see when that whole movie plays out and how much they just tried to freak you out in the trailer.
I do think that probably the trailer is not exactly a very fair representation of what's going on there.
But I think she's right about the religion thing being these series of pump people up. The letter we talked about last week kind of talked about, you know, pushing people toward this late great revival thing coming, the God's restoring, that whole approach. You pump people up. And then have to brace them through the disappointments of it not happening. And so we talk about these mountaintop experiences, and we schedule revivals twice a year so that people can be all that pick-me-up stuff. And, it creates bipolar Christians. I know she's not making fun of bipolar people, but I think she is saying that, in fact, it does offer you these great highs and then great lows of frustration. We've talked about that. I mean, I know some people who we write to and talk to who are going through some real struggles.
I wonder if that isn't part of why, you know, on the whole, quote, the body of Christ is tends to be so worn out. It's because, you know, the ethos is you got to lead them up this mountain and then back down. And it's like all the sort of pump them up, the hype. It's like I think out of... And I'm just going to assume that for some of the folks behind that, they are sincerely excited with passionate enthusiasm.
Hey, I was when I planned those things.
That God is going to do something great, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I doubt it is with calculated manipulation, but on the rare arena. But I think what we don't recognize is that because so much of the focus has gone towards coming to a gathering as opposed to a living of a life, you do have to give some kind of reason, well, why are these people going to come here? It's like the whole marketing advertising. I got to get them coming, and I got to get them coming back.
And I think the crash for them is even greater than the participants. I know the things I used to plan like that. I mean, you just really thought this event, because of the...
It's going to change the world.
Passion we had in planning. This is going to launch
this is
something
it.
So much bigger
the
than
match
ourselves.
Strike. It's going to happen.
And even on its best day, you know, the next day is always... Oh, why did it change? Even when something was really, really good. I had so many wives tell me when their husband came back from those Promise Keeper rallies, he needs one of those every Saturday. But he probably wouldn't go that often. But there's something about, you know, you pick up that whole emotion, commitment, resolve. But that's not where we live. It's like going away on a short-term missions thing. You come back and, boy, you're going to be transformed. It's going to change the way I live from now on. And then, you know, somehow we slide back into the way we live in this world. And it's kind of nuts.
One thing for me is I don't want to discount the reality that maybe something genuine is happening.
Well, I do want to discount that reality. What are you saying? Exactly?
No, I don't. I'm not tossing that at you.
But, oops, my oops again. It's always oops.
No, but the dynamic.
I'm going to start going by oops on this show. You just call me oops.
Be quiet. The dynamic is that I do think.
Go ahead, tell your story.
Some things can genuinely happen that can be real transformational. But if it's only couched in this event, if that's the catalyst alone for it, and there's a focus of, ooh, you know, because this was awesome right here, I'm now different. I think that's where the built-in disappointment is.
Absolutely.
Is because, you know, it's like, I don't know that you see Jesus going like, I'm going to plan for these guys our next big event. You know, we're in Nazareth now, but
Pentecost
we're on our way to Jerusalem.
I'm going to drop the Holy Spirit on him. See how they handle that.
That was an event. Okay.
And the Cornelius thing, that was another drop that thing on there again.
Yeah, but Peter was not a part of that at all. That happened in spite of Peter.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's kind of like, whoa.
In fact, he was a little hostile to be part of it.
And it's not to discount that, you know, because there's a number of different things that I've gone to over the course of my life, and even things that that as an event, it was like, man, that was amazing. That was wonderful. But it is just that. It's like it wasn't the end of anything. It wasn't necessarily the beginning of anything. It was simply a moment that I enjoyed, that I got some value out of, but I've got to live this life. I think the thing that I've recognized is this is more about the long haul, day in, day out, of how am I relating to God today? It doesn't matter how great yesterday was. It's where is he with me now? Where am I in my ongoing walk with him?
And I think it flies against how transformation really happens in us, which I know that the deeper things in my heart and what brothers and sisters who I'm talking to and who write me about this in their own lives would that it would come through some high and holy weekend somewhere. I think the transformation God does in our heart is that steady transformation over time of winning us to his affection and teaching us how to hear his voice. And those things to me, it's not that big events can't incite that process in some way. But very rarely is it the deciding point, and very rarely does it even push the other along in a giant sort of way. I do think it's the slow and steady growth of a relationship that we do see with Jesus over the period of time he spent with the boys. And there wasn't a lot of ecstatic experiences. There was those, I'm trying to help you think the way Father thinks and live the way Father loves you and walk in that life.
And I also think it would be wrong to sort of look at the event as if it was the thing. God, if anyone got anything out of any of those things, there was something that God was doing in that person's life before that moment, drawing them to it. And there was something that he intended to catalyze perhaps in that moment. And then there's something he's doing outside of that moment in the ongoing. And it's like, if we just simply learn to partner with him in all those phases, then great. But if I'm hoping it's going to be some magic wand that gets weighed over my head or someone's, you know, wonderful anointed hand on my forehead, it's kind of like, guess what?
Oops.
I wish it was that easy, but it's like, you know what? No, it's like this is a life and a relationship.
We got a letter from Jamie this week, and it actually touched on something that you and I have talked about, kind of talking about before, because I meet a lot of folks like this, and he's talking particularly from a musician standpoint, but he says, music's always been a huge part of my life. As a follower of Christ, no matter what ministry I've worked with, I've always ended up leading worship in some capacity, and we've already talked about that term not being one we love. In fact, I was the worship leader at my last, literally, congregation when I finally made the decision to step outside the box. My question to you guys is, how do musicians fit into what we've been calling the relational church? What have your experiences been with musicians in house-based fellowships? How do those experiences differ from the current emphasis on physical movement in worship, such as jump, dance, spin, clap, and the hallelujah dismount?
That's not in there.
And follow the leader type worship sessions. We've been out of the machine nearly a year now, and we've been doing is going down to the local coffee house where there's been an open guitar jam session every Friday. We wanted to do that for a long time, but couldn't because of meetings, rehearsals, and so forth. Anyway, what happened is that we began to build, ta-da, relationships with Christians, non-Christians, atheists, and various other persuasions and ideologies. I play music with these guys who welcome songs about my journey in the Lord while my wife sits and listens or talks with some of the other patrons. It has been really cool to see who God has hooked us up with and begin understanding what he wants to love these people unconditionally and to talk in a real honest way about how much he loves us and wants to love him too. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think he answered his own question, but
kind of.
I do love the way it sorted out with him. But we've talked about it in a larger context because I meet people who really did feel, I don't know how everyone would sort that out, a calling to whether it's teaching or discipling or helping people grow. Maybe even went and was trained in Bibles or ministry kinds of related things. And now if it's not fitting for them to combine that gift with managing an institution, what do they do? And is it all just a false gift? So where do people?
Or is their gift being wasted?
Is it? Good question.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I look at is the reality is God has put gifts inside all of us. And I cannot fathom that he thought, you know what, those gifts are just for the meetings. I don't think that was the case at all.
Really?
I think, yeah, I know it's a novel thought for you.
Wow. I gotta say, it sounds like an us versus them thing.
No.
I'm kidding.
I think the whole context is he's equipped us with different abilities for life. Now, I'm not good at everything. You're not good at everything.
What?
I know, it's a shock.
Oops.
You like that.
Oops, that is.
That's very good.
Thank you. I'm over here working,
that's,
man.
That's whoomp. It is.
Oh, not,
yeah, I gotta help you.
See, I don't do the funk, man. Yeah. I don't get that stuff.
I think it's like funk got
you.
It. Yeah, now you're pushing the envelope.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of on the edge. It's late. He wanted to do two podcasts,
Wade's
and I'm
getting
tired.
His groove on.
I don't know about that.
With the body, God's given gifts that differ. And it's like when you look at that, I think that's meant to draw us together, not just to be in formalized meetings. And I think when you recognize that God's purposed something to be expressed in and through me, I think the biggest issue is, well, in a formal setting where you're the person up front, you get validated. Now, without that, it's like, well, I don't feel as valid. It's like, well, what is the purpose of your gift? Not where do you express it so much.
But, yeah, and I think what some people struggle with, if that's the only place we see it function, and I do think for a lot of people who've left, who kind of been turned off to the traditional congregational format, looking for other alternatives. Many people don't know what those alternatives are, and many of them who we talk to who spill out of those things don't really know, or let me say it this way. Maybe there's a kind of an anti-teaching ethic. You know, teaching was part of the big bad place. So now we're just going to come out here and flounder on our own. When there are some gifted brothers and sisters with insight into the things God does that could help people learn how to live this life. And I do think to some extent, because we don't know how to see those gifts function outside of the formal I'm the leader, you're the follower kind of arrangement, that we are tossing out the baby with the bathwater. And
yeah.
We're not saying, I have opportunities all the time to help people get this journey and to do talking and teaching, whether it's in writing or, you know, podcasts or actually going and visiting folks and doing seminars even or just having conversations for the weekend. And I do think there's an incredible value to a lot of people doing that, not just me doing it with a group of people, but others who've been gifted and trained. And maybe they said, gosh, that doesn't best fit into the CEO model of having to manage an institution. But I'm still hungry whether it's to help people enter into times of praise and thanksgiving or whether it's helping people learn how to live the life of God.
Yeah, but it's not always just in some sort of formal planned event. Just a simple phone call. Your teaching gift will come into play in the simple conversation that you have with that individual. Your capacity to illumine truth for them and to lead them to the person who is that truth. That is what you're good at doing. That's not going to stop because all of a sudden, well, the meeting's over.
No, that's true.
I think that's the biggest challenge is, you know, I think some of the biggest
people. But it's a little strange to walk up to someone with a guitar and say, you know what, let me lead you in a chorus. Or call him up on the phone and say, I feel a song coming on.
But is that gift, from a musician standpoint, is that only to be given to somebody else? I mean, you think of David when he was with the sheep and he's creating all the psalms and he's singing songs. Who was that for? The sheep? It seems to me that he simply expressed that to God.
Yeah?
Well, that's a great place to release that. You know, if God's given you a capacity for, quote, worship, then worship him. It doesn't need an audience, I don't think, to be valid.
No, it doesn't need it, but I do think there's some value. I enjoy singing songs with people together and folks that are gifted musically, or even I love hearing some brothers and sisters I know who just sing and just listen to them express the gifts God's given to them. But I think that, and I love the fact this brother talks about, man, we're just down open guitar night in a place where other folks are, and we don't even share the same ideologies, but we sit around and jam together, and God uses that. And I think that's beautiful.
See, that's a wonderful expression that continues the giftedness that God's given him.
Yeah, I've been in hospital rooms with people and had folks come in with guitars and other things, sing, and even as people have passed away in kind of that atmosphere. And I think there's lots of places to use these things other than just me and Jesus, as valuable as that is, or just me and one other person on a phone. I do think there's some value in saying, gosh, how do these things? I mean, I was with a brother back in New York State last week, and there's a ice cream parlor in town. And summers, they kind of do a concert thing. They schedule different folks to do something down in the parking lot while people are chomping on their ice cream. And he and his wife go down and do some things like that. And I think those opportunities are fabulous. I think that's, whether it's in a park, whether it's even renting some space in the park and going down and putting a concert together. However God's given you to use those things. Or somebody's got to feel like, man, I've got a teaching gift. I'd love to help people sort out, you know, something about this journey. There's lots of ways to do that. Whether it's to invite people in your home for a Bible study for a period of time, whether it's to volunteer. I know community colleges out here, if you really are up to that highbrow, want to help people learn, you know, a course on the Bible or something, and if you've got the credentials, doing it for a community college and letting people from the community sign up, there's a way to do that. There's all kinds of, you know, rescue mission type places, alcohol rehab. One of my best friends in the whole world just really has a teaching gift, and he's ended up just at various seasons of his life volunteering at alcohol rehab or hospital chaplaincy or whatever, or he actually lives out that gift in other environments than just that. And I think it's good to think beyond just the Sunday morning kind of audience to say, where else are there places where God might use those things, and where's he asking you to go?
And I think it does require a little bit of initiative once you're outside the setting wherein you might have been solicited for it. You know, it's like in the gathered traditional, you know, church meeting kind of dynamic, it's like, well, we have our standard format of what we need a worship leader guy, we need a speaker guy. I mean, and so there's a sense of they look to fill those slots. And so it's a little static, and it's sort of like, well, there's a known sense of what I do. When all of a sudden you're outside of that, it's like, hey, there's an absolute world out there. There's a myriad of opportunities, but they're probably not aware of you.
Yeah, really. They're not going to be inviting you.
And that's
you,
the biggest challenge. It's like all of a sudden you go like, well, I don't know what to do. And it's like, that's where it's like, apart from God giving you that little nudge, just an idea, you know, whether you have a sense that I heard him say something or not, just a simple idea. It's like it's pretty hard to know what to do without some kind of spark of interest.
Right.
But I'd follow that spark of interest. And, you know, it's just.
And try some. I've talked before. Try some things. What's the worst that's going to happen? You did a thing in a park and three people showed up. Well, that's OK. I've been touching to those three people. It's without following some nudges, seeing where God might want to place your gift, you're never going to know.
Plus, don't stop the discovery of perhaps the myriad of ways that God has gifted you. It isn't just in that known few things that you really like doing.
Yeah.
It's like in that moment, if you're available to say, Lord, how would you use me here? You know, what are you doing in this given situation? You may find new things developing and cropping up that you didn't necessarily know were resident within you. And it is the giftedness of the Holy Spirit wanting to bring forth a gift for somebody.
I was with a group once back in the kind of the center part of the States. And this one family I was with for lunch one afternoon, and the wife, and I've been in meetings with her where she's kind of helped with the singing praise part of the deal. And I love being there when she does that, because she's really a person that is not manipulative with the crowd, not this follow the leader, stand up, sit down. Sarah calls Simon Says praise and worship. sit down, bark, you know, do whatever. But she bark. just really loves Jesus and let you love Jesus with her. And she's always said for 20 years, she's always had this bent of, this is never entertainment. I will never use my gift for entertainment. It's only for ministry. And, you know, had that, you know, big fight that musicians have had for a couple decades. When she found herself being invited by a man who owned a nightclub, who heard her singing, invited her to come sing at the club. And she said, oh, I'll do this. Not what God's given me this gift for. I won't do it. And she turned him down for a number of weeks, I guess. And then finally, kind of like with the bridge builder thing I went through, kind of felt like God was saying, hello. I'm opening a door for you. And so she said, okay, I'll do it. And so she's gone down there, and I don't know if she's still doing this. This was a couple of years ago when I last saw him, but she was doing songs in the nightclub with her guitar, and they were secular songs, but she chose intentionally songs that kind of this double entendre meaning, where it's, you know, like, I love you and all that, but it could be as much directed to God as it would be a human being in a romantic sense. And had some amazing experiences. Her husband heard about a glee club going on in the city that was 90% gay, and there was a big Christian movement in the area saying, don't go to these concerts, these are gay people, blah, blah, blah. And he was offended by the way that was all being set up and complained about it. And then he felt like God asked him, I want you to go join him. I want you to put your money where your mouth is. I want you to go join the group. And he had just done that when I was there. He's a vocal gift, and went down and signed up and joined the community glee club or whatever it was. And he told me, he said, the amount of conversations I've had because of that with these guys, my wife and kids come pick me up at the end of the rehearsals and things, and the conversations they've had with people just saying, gosh, what must it be like to have wife and kids? And he's just found that's opened an incredible door as well. So I don't think it's just about ministering to people directly by what you're doing, but taking your gift like this, like Jamie was talking about in the letter, and actually it's giving me to meet people,
yeah,
and build ta-da relationships, which is what I think Jesus really wants to do ultimately with the things he's given us.
Well, I just look in the simple dynamic of, you know, I'm doing construction landscape stuff. I'm an effective problem solver. I don't know that I'm an incredible skilled artisan. And guess what? So much of just the construction stuff we're doing, it's simple common sense problem solving, thinking through dynamics.
But it's digging and moving dirt and things like that.
And I have a gift with a shovel, I guess. You know,
I don't know about that. The
reality is I recognize that even in the partnership with the guy that I'm working with, there are things that I bring to the table that make us a better unit than we would just by ourselves. Because I have an ability to kind of jump in with a little more courage, and I'll initiate something that he's a little more reticent. And so all of a sudden it brings him into a setting that his skills can really shine that he might have been a little hesitant to get into. And, you know, I'm a little better at handling the finances than him. And so you look at those dynamics and it's like, well, is that a spiritual gift? Is it just for speaking in tongues? Is it just for the laying on of hands? It's like, no, it has nothing to do with just that. It's the manifold way that God has gifted us. And if I'll look and realize, what has God given to me? What's he entrusted to me in terms of skills, abilities, and not putting boundaries on that, and going like, okay, as a person, I'm going to be the gift that God brings into this setting, not to dominate and to take over, but more like, God, how do you want me to function here? I'm a natural leader. And so in settings that there is some form of leadership that's needed, right now, most of the time, I don't just jump in. But it's like when I recognize, okay, this could use a little help, that's very easy for me to bring that piece.
Yeah, and I think that's where some of these gifts hold more value when we talk about them being temporary, for the moment, functional kinds of things rather than permanent positions we carve out for ourselves and bore people to death week after week. Because I even think the whole teaching thing week after week, and I don't know how many pastors I hear say this, I certainly felt it when I was doing it every week, was at some point the people who are listening to you really grow tone deaf to the same voice every week. And somebody comes in from the outside, and I've done this with groups, I'll come in and say something, and people go, oh my gosh, we've never heard that before. And the guy who's normally teaching looks at me and goes,
saying
that for 6 months.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a tone deaf part of that that comes into play. But I think there are gifts that, like you said, get to function however God wants them to function. Let them function for the moment. If it's God puts a study on your heart, put a study together and facilitate. Don't make it a lifetime training institute for the people in your neighborhood and drive them nuts. But find ways that God nudges you along to take whatever gifts you have. And if it's teaching, then teach. If it's facilitating, facilitate. If it's encouragement, encourage. There's tons of places for this stuff to live out in settings other than just that Sunday morning environment that we're all used to seeing them, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, take the verse, a person's gift will make room for them. That is not a statement of, well, if you're really gifted, God will give you a staff position.
I mean, it's true.
That is not the context of that.
Absolutely not.
And it's not like, well, if it's really a gift from God, then he'll make room for it to be expressed on Sunday. You know what? Your giftedness is probably more than just a gift. It's probably needed in the context that God is naturally leading you into. And he's probably really hoping that you'll be open to the fact that, guess what? That's where he wants it expressed. And
that whole thing about if you're faithful in little things, then God expands that. I really do think there's just simple ways God usually opens doors to things. And our faithfulness to do things that maybe not all that we want or doesn't draw the spotlight. And if that's what you're in love with, then obviously God's going to want to kill that early on because that just doesn't help anybody. But if you're just faithful to walk through whatever doors God puts in front of you and enjoy what's there, not live in the frustration of, you know, I got to get to this place or have this many people listen to my voice or whatever, then I think you're in a better place to let him lead you on.
So oftentimes you see people, unfortunately, getting their identity and their sense of value out of their giftedness. And so if all of a sudden it used to have a defined role, and then they don't have that, is that they feel incredibly diminished. And I'm going like, how are you any different? How are you of any less value simply because the position or the role was taken away? It's like that isn't what gave you your value anyways.
Definitely.
And I think there can be some confusion towards that, you know, and that limits our view of where we see the things that God's placed in us being expressed.
But in the undefined wilderness of not having it so institutionally clear or titled, I think sometimes, one, we do throw out the baby with the bathwater, and two, we do get lost in it. I found myself saying to someone recently I was with who had been in a staff position at a congregation, was not, by their choice, didn't get thrown out or anything, it just felt like it wasn't where they needed to be. And now they're a business owner in that community. And as I was leaving that place with he and his wife, I just turned to him, I said, you know what, I think what you guys are, by just the nature of, or just watching them be who they were through the course of my time with them, and I've done this with other people, I said, you really are elders in this family, you really are pastors in the best sense of what a pastor really is, so live that way, you know, doesn't mean you start a deal, it just means you live that way out of your relationships with other people, and you take courage when God, and I don't say that to a lot of folks, but I do say it to people that I really say, hey, you know, and they wrote me later and said, gosh, that released us in so many ways because we really do feel these things. And then it's kind of like, who are we? And now we're out of that system, so we don't. Instead of, no, do what God's put on your heart. You really are an elder in this family. You really do have a concern for people. You have insight into people's lives. And don't use it to lord over. Certainly don't, you know, start a thing and everybody's drawn to become dependent on you. But live and move among the family as that which God has gifted you to be. And you'll impact people's lives with a greater freedom and liberty. And I do think it's helpful at times for people
to hear that.
To hear that. And have
people
that sense
need
of
validation. That's not an evil, rotten thing. They need it. That gives them a sense of courage.
But it's not the validation of notoriety. It's the recognition of a gift. And when someone else, it's one thing to say, gosh, I think I have this gift. it's another thing when people begin to say, I see this gift in your life and I appreciate you being that and what that has meant to me. That's a big piece.
Yeah, I mean,
particularly for people new to this.
And part of the discovery dynamic, you know, it's a little bit of a bold question, but I've told people, to the circle of people that you're around, simply ask them, what is it that I bring to the dynamic of, you know, when we get together? I'm trying to discover a little bit of what God's invested in me. And it's not like an arrogant question of, oh, please, toss praise towards me. It's more like, ask them. They're the recipients of who you are. It may be, I mean, I need a mirror to be able to see what my face looks like. People are that.
It's got to be scary.
Yeah, I know. Especially when you got Dave doing those kind of pictures.
Yeah, really.
Although I did look good on the mountain bike. I did. I look great on the mountain bike.
I think I'm putting the one where I'm on the mountain bike.
No. That's not the right one. I'm on the mountain bike.
Me.
Of course. Oops. The whole dynamic is people are that mirror to us. They'll help reflect back to us the reality of what's there. And if I'll have the courage to kind of just say, hey, help me, I'm trying to figure this out, those people in my life, that's going to be a beneficial exchange for both folks.
Yeah, and if we have the courage to say to people when, for instance, I'm lost in something and need somebody's help, to whether it's teaching or helping me, counseling or some of those gifts, that it's also helpful when we ask others who we see helpful to us in that way, would you help me here? That's part of that identifying, I think, and part of our awareness that getting outside the box of institutionalized religion certainly doesn't mean now we're all go it alone and do what's right in our own eyes and try to figure out everything on our own. Our increasing dependency on Jesus is often encouraged and illumined by the gifts he's placed around us who are going to free us to know him better, not orient us toward themselves. But those are still valuable things. And I honestly think one of the things I constantly see in the places I go is that people don't take advantage of that enough. We really do feel like now I've got to do all this on my own. And when you're just kind of lost in it, and God's put people in the body to help you.
Yeah.
And take advantage of it.
And being able to see that body, not just as that defined local whatever it is. It's the natural web of relationships that you're within.
Absolutely.
Some of them will be perhaps brothers and sisters that are saved and do know Jesus.
Yeah.
And others may be folks that don't know him yet.
Yeah.
And they're no less part of the dynamic that God's going to use you in their life. And just because they may not have signed up for the I want to go to heaven route doesn't mean that they don't have gifts that God's placed in them as well.
Who wouldn't sign up for the I want to go to heaven bus tour anyway?
I think everyone would want to sign up for that. But it's like, you know, I think so much of how we define things is like, you know, I've recognized there's incredible giftedness in people that don't recognize who gifted them. And being able to have a chance to kind of maybe even just help them discover that, you know, like, I think, man, God really placed that gift in you. That's a great conversation starter in that person's life. What do you mean? And it's like to be able to have an opportunity to just sort of like, you know what? I think you got something that is fantastic.
This would be a great thing to really even pass on to the forum now and say, you know, some of you who are musicians, who are gifted in teaching, counseling, some of these gifts that had more defined place in the system. What are you doing? What are the doors God's opening to you? How are you feeling nudged? This would be a great discussion to continue on the forum so that other people can, whether you're musicians or teachers or whatever among the family, see how God's using other people. And that obviously always gives me ideas and things that God might nudge me toward as well.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
That'll be fun. Well, I'm off to Texas.
Well, God bless you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.